Hey, folks, this is Kevin. On this week's Best of Risk episode, you'll hear Morgan Jones Phillips.
Why? 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 Why do I do all the penis calls?
That and more. Now here's the show. Hello, kids. This is Risk, the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. I'm Kevin Allison, and this is Boozu Baju behind me now. And this is the Best of Risk number 11. This crazy story that was shared at our last Toronto show from a fella you can find online at emergencymonologues.com. Here's Morgan Jones Phillips with a story we call Say Goodbye to My Lil' Friend.
So I have been a paramedic here in the city of Toronto for 13 years. I'm actually a field training officer, which means that I train college students and I also train new paramedics and help them adjust to the job. And I like doing that because when I was new, I was not very good at the job. When I was new, I was very, very nervous. I was shy, I was insecure, I had very little confidence in my skills or in myself, and I really had a hard time building that up. So, of course, this story happened when I was new. So, this is like 13 years ago, and it's a night shift, and I am in a Chinese restaurant ordering some food when my pager goes off. And I look at my pager, and it says, Bravo Hemorrhage. Now, a Bravo is what we call a medium-low priority call. So it's not a lights and sirens type of response. And hemorrhage, someone is bleeding somewhere. But they're bleeding somewhere that is a non-life-threatening, low-priority place. Now, this doesn't leave this room, but on occasion, if I've already ordered my food, and I get a medium-low priority call, I might wait for it to be ready. So I'm waiting for my food when I get an update. And the update comes across my pager, and it says, male 37, feeling bored, cut off own penis, and flushed it down toilet. Two things went through my mind at that moment. The first was, fuck my food, I gotta go. The second was I was thinking back to college, and I was imagining in school when we would do scenarios where we would simulate emergencies, and we would prepare for our life on the road, and we would do car accidents where someone broke an arm or needed spinal immobilization or was having a heart attack and had to be defibrillated or had anaphylaxis and was eating a Snickers bar. We never did someone cutting off their own penis. So I ran out to the truck, and my partner, Brian's been on longer than me. As I said, I was new. Brian's been on for a while. Brian's a cool guy, totally relaxed, together. He's sitting behind the wheel, and I run up to him, and I jump into the passenger seat, and I say, "Did you see the call that we have?" And he says, yeah, I saw Bravo hemorrhage, whatever. And I'm like, no. Did you see the details on this call? And he says, I didn't bother looking. I pull up my pager. Male 37, feeling bored, cut off own penis and flushed down toilets. And he reacted in a way that I didn't expect. He starts pounding on the steering wheel and saying, "Why? Why? Why? Why do I do all the penis calls?" Because what I didn't know is that this was his first day back from stress leave from doing another call. He got a call for a man acting peculiar in an alley. We'll call this man Mr. Tinfoil Hat. So he, his partner of that day, Chris, and a cop walk into the alley to see Mr. Tinfoil Hat, and there he is, and he's like,
The aliens are coming to get me. The aliens, you gotta help me. The aliens are coming to get me.
And Brian's cool. Brian's relaxed. Brian's like, that's cool, brother. I'll take care of you. Don't you worry. Come to my ambulance. We'll talk about this. I'll take care of those aliens. Don't you worry. I'll protect you. It's cool. And the guy says,
No, you don't understand. The aliens are coming to get me. They're coming to get me. I got to get rid of the tracking device.
And he pulls, stay with me here. Let's all be zen and be in the moment here. He pulls down his sweatpants, takes a broken light bulb, slices open his scrotum, and his testicle falls to the ground. So Chris and the cop jump on the guy. And my partner Brian rolls up the testicle and takes the guy to the hospital. This is his first day back, getting back in the saddle, as it were, doing the job. Now you may be saying to yourself, oh, penis testicle calls must be so rare on the job. After that call, any truck he was on, we would call the unit. Now, I did another call years later, which is another way of saying a couple years ago. And we did a call for a guy who, for medical reasons that I'll be honest, I don't know and didn't care to find out, he had testicles the size of basketballs. And so both of them were basketball-sized and hung down to clear the ground by about an inch or two. And so we're taking him to the hospital. And as he starts walking, we can see that there's this pendulum effect with every step that he takes. And we can see with every step that he takes that his nutsack is swinging a little bit farther and a little bit bigger until at one point it's just going to pull him off balance. and he's going to go crashing to the ground. So we don't want this to happen. So my partner and I line ourselves up on either side of him so that as the nutsack swings, it kind of hits us in the legs. But keeps him from falling over. Anyway, so he walks over, he sits down on the stretcher, he kind of sits down, the nutsack is still hanging off the side, it's sort of, you know, again, clearing the ground by about an inch. And as I said, this is a couple years ago, so I'm not new anymore, this is not my first day. I don't pull the seniority card very often, but I turned to my junior partner that day, and I said, "You want to pick that up and deal with that?" Anyway, so back to our story here. So we're driving lights and sirens through the city like only a couple of guys can on a mission to save another man's junk. I want to just take a moment to just mention that this call came in as a medium-low priority call. And at no point was it ever upgraded to be a more serious call. And this is something that I can only attribute to female call takers. Because I guarantee you, if a male was on the other end of that phone when they called 911, it would have been treated much more seriously. Anyway, so there we are, blazing around, when we get another update. And the update says, patient will meet you at George's Chicken House on Bathurst. So my partner and I are having a brief discussion about doing this amputation call in a chicken house. When we get another update, dispatch is saying, patient has been advised to stay home and not go to George's Chicken House on Bathurst. Which we think is sage advice. So we are blazing through and we get to his street and we pull up and I jump out of the truck and I run around the back and I'm pulling out the stretcher and I can hear a guy walking up the street kind of ranting and raving and yelling, and it's the kind of neighborhood where that it takes more than that to draw my attention, and I can hear him and he's like, "What are you doing waking up the neighbors with all your lights and your sirens and you're making all your noise?" And I'm just ignoring him. And I'm pulling the stretcher out when he says something that gets my attention. He says, "I told you to meet me at George's Chicken House." "Sir, did you call 911? "Yeah." "Did you harm yourself this evening?" "Yeah, I cut off my penis." And where's that penis now?" "I flushed it down the toilet, and now my wife will never come back to me." "I don't doubt that, sir." So I put the stretcher back into the ambulance and I take him around the side and we get into the back of the ambulance, and now that it's better lighting, now I can see a little better, and I got him standing up and he's in his late 30s and he's wearing a t-shirt and he's got sort of scruffy brown hair and he looks relatively normal. He's got black jeans on, but I can see they're wet and I can see they're kind of glistening. And so I say to him, I say, "Sir, can you just take your pants down?" And he says, "Sure." He just, like it's the normalest thing ever. "Sure." Takes his pants down. I say, "Sir, can you, and I look at him and he's wearing a pair of tighty whities, but they're just like, they're just crimson. They're just red, just the entire things. And I say, "Sir, can you just take your underwear down?" He says, "Sure." And so he First, though, he pulls back the waistband, and he reaches in, and he pulls out a balled-up sweat sock. And it's just soaked in blood, and he drops it on the ground. Then he reaches in and pulls out another. And then he reaches in and pulls out a third. And then he pulls his underwear down, and I'm looking at it, and it's just a big mass of congealed blood and pubic hair, and pardon the pun, but I can't make heads or tails of it. And I'm kind of looking, and I'm like, sir, can you show me where the end of your penis is? And I immediately regret those words. And I'm like, oh, the end of your penis. Because it is the end of his penis. And I'm like, oh, sensitivity training much, Morgan? But I say it. I'm like, can you show me the end of your penis? And he's like, sure. And so he lifts up a little nub that was before unseen by me. And as he lifts up this little nub, blood shoots out of it, sprays across the entire ambulance, and hits the back doors. My reaction. Put him back down! Put him back down! Put him back down! Put him back down! I'm reaching off the shelf. I'm grabbing pressure dressings. I'm throwing them at him. Hold that on him! Hold that on him! Hold that on him! I go around to the front to my driver, who I notice Brian has never left the driver's seat this entire time. He's just been sitting there the whole time, just rocking in one place. And I just turn to him and I'm like, drive, drive, drive! And I'm setting up the stretcher and I'm putting sheets down and I'm putting soaker pads down and I'm getting him to come around and lie down. And he seems very kind of surprised by the kerfuffle. He doesn't quite seem to know what all this activity is all about. And I get him lying down and I get him strapped in and wrapped in the sheet. And now that's all kind of settled. And I'm like, so, do you have any heart problems? Any breathing problems like asthma? Are you diabetic? High blood pressure? Stroke? Seizures? Cancer? I ready my pen with a click. Psychiatric or mental illness? And he says, well, I get depressed sometimes. I'm like, oh. Do you take any medication for that? And he says, I used to take Paxil. Have you considered taking it again? So we're going off to the hospital. We're on our way there. We get there. It's been quite uneventful, to be honest. We arrive. There's a male nurse and there's a female nurse. And we go in, and the female nurse turns to him and says, what did you use to cut it off with? And I'll be honest, that question did occur to me. But I didn't ask it. And the reason I didn't ask it is I kind of answered it myself because I just thought to myself, who cares? It's gone. It's gone. But I make a note to myself that that is an important question, and if I do another call for a man separated from his manhood, that I will endeavor to ask that question. And so she asks, what did you use to cut it off with? And he says, a Gillette Mach 3 razor. Which, at the time, I was using a Gillette Mach 3 razor. So I'm familiar with the Gillette Mach 3 razor. And it's one of these things where I didn't ask. But of course, the question went through my mind because I want to question the very definition of the word safety razor. Because I don't know how he did it. I don't know if he modified the blade somehow and then did it with a sideways swishing sort of... Or the alternative would be that he did it much like a vegetable peeler through a carrot and was more like... And I don't know, and I probably never will, and the reality is it's probably not that important that I do. Anyway, so he answers a Mach 3 razor, and the male nurse turns to him and says, Mach 3, that's a good razor. And the patient looks back at the male nurse and says, it's a very good razor. So many years have gone by now since that call. And I have to say that I'm a much better paramedic now than I was then. If you ever call 911 and I walk through the doors, don't worry, you'll be fine. But the job does change you, and it doesn't change you in the ways that you probably are thinking. So yes, of course, it does change the fact that I have a very strong ability to ignore other people's pain and suffering. The fact that my colleagues and I can casually talk about rotting bodies while eating breakfast. But one of the things, and this is true, that has changed is since then I have not shaved with a blade. Thank you.
Get drunk, and the next morning I can't, for the life of me, remember what I did with it.